I want to start with a little definition of counsel. It's just advice to a person looking for help. So why be involved? Why counsel? You know, there are some who argue, there was a person who wrote in our local newspaper, that tells you how old it was, that really churches and pastors shouldn't be involved in counseling. They said these words, "With few exceptions, we ministers have no more business counseling people than the barber. After all, our training is theological and spiritual. Like that counts for nothing. And we can be good at helping people mature their faith, as if that counts for nothing. But please send troubled people to their pastor only for spiritual help, prayer, forgiveness, assurance of God's love, or referrals to real counselors." We've taken a different approach, and I suspect that many of your churches have too. You've decided that there are people in your church that need help. Because even though Sunday morning is happening, and maybe your small groups or your Sunday school or adult Bible fellowship, it's all there. But for one reason or another, the wheels still fall off some people's lives. And so you decide, well, we need to do something for them. Others of you have realized, boy, our community has a lot of hurting people. And when I drive to work, I pass hundreds, if not thousands, of people, and I wonder, if this is the kind of stuff that's happening inside our church, I wonder how much is happening outside. I wonder how many hurting people there are. And so you've decided to be here to find out, should you counsel? And I'm going to have six answers to the question, why counsel? And I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 28 for the first one. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. It is the Great Commission text where the Lord Jesus tells us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So why is it that you would be involved in counseling? Because your task is to make disciples, and that's my task, and your church's task, and our church's task. It's to make disciples. And we often have to ask ourselves, how many times have we actually presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to another person? Face to face, one on one, encouraging them to repent and believe. So one answer to the question of why counsel is to evangelize. People who are hurting are looking for answers to their pain. So what motivates someone to decide to go to counseling? Something is happening in their life that they don't like. And so they're willing to come talk to somebody they don't know and share details about their life that few people know, because they want help. And we're the ones who have the opportunity to point them to the greatest people helper ever, amen, our Lord Jesus. Yes. And so we have the chance then to evangelize one-on-one. Every church, every Christian has to ask the question, how do I actually get involved in evangelism? How do I do it? How do I make disciples? If this is my job, then how do I go about doing it? Answer, counseling is one of them. An opportunity to evangelize the lost. Now, making disciples involves, in this passage, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. 1 Peter chapter 2 describes it slightly differently, but with equally powerful words. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Every single one of those phrases is loaded with Old Testament meaning, describing the identity of a New Testament believer. Then once we realize that, why is it that he's done this for us? Why has he made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? That's why. So that we would proclaim the excellencies of Jesus who transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom. And that really answers the question a second way, and that is the discipleship of believers. I think each of us, if we were to walk through our history, would find moments in our life where we were not necessarily being very good about proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus. We were instead entrapped in various things that really didn't make us stand out as believers in Christ. And so what is one thing that we can do for somebody else? Help them embrace that. Help them embrace proclaiming the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are encouraging them, helping them to make disciples, to take those individuals who are already believers in Jesus but struggling to live out their faith in a meaningful way. Some of my counselees have actually come to counseling because their children told them that their relationship was a joke. Is it fair to say that they were not proclaiming the excellencies of him who called them out of darkness? When their own children were saying to them, "You know, Mom and Dad, you guys are worse than junior hires." That motivated them to say, there's obviously something wrong in our home, in our walk with Jesus, and in our willingness to proclaim the goodness of Christ. And so we're here to help. Well, we have the privilege then. So why would you do it? Because you want to evangelize. You want to actually proclaim Christ to those who haven't heard him before. And it's a joy to do that. I once had a counselee, and I asked him why he was coming, and he said, "Because she made me," pointing to his wife. So I asked her why she was coming, and she said, "Well, I want you to tell my husband about Jesus." I thought, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be a fun case. He was not a committed believer. He just wanted to have a good marriage. He's like, "I want to do whatever it's going to take to make my wife happy because I want to be married to her." And so it was interesting. And I told him this. I said, "I will happily help you with what the scripture says and how the Lord wants to change you, as long as you give me the privilege of saying to you that you need to repent and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior every single time we talk." He's like, "Deal." And we've had a fun relationship. I see him from time to time. Not that he was ever converted, but I see him from time to time, and it's fun to catch up. But here was the task. It's a great opportunity to share Christ, and I don't know what God will do with his life, but one day I hope that God uses something to awaken his soul, that the Spirit would regenerate him, make him alive together with Jesus. The discipleship of believers, helping individuals whose wheels have fallen off to get back, and they're proclaiming Christ now to those around them.